ब्रह्मभ्यो ब्राह्मण किं करवामते ब्रह्मार्षीणं तथा सक्षान् मन्ये त्वार्यपूर्जनम् श्रीबलिरुवाच स्वागतं ते नमस्तुभ्यो ब्राह्मण किं करवाम ते परमार्षीणं तपसाच्यान् मन्ये त्वर्यावपूर्णम् Ali Maharaj said, Suagatam, all welcome, te unto you, Namatubhyam, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, Brahman, O Brahmana, Kim, what? Karavama, can we do? Te, for you. Brahma Rishina, of the great Brahmana sages. Tapaha, austerity. Sakshat, directly. Manye, I think. Twa, you. Arya, O noble one. Vapunaram, personified. And so translation. Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. You can repeat. Bali Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, O Brahmana, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmana sages. So there's no text to this verse. You go to the next two or three verses, and then we'll go on to the next chapter, so we'll keep reading until we get to a purport. Text 30. Ajana pitarachutta ajana pavitam kulam ajasvishta praturhai hang yadpavan agato graham. O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied, our family and entire dynasty have been sanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. So text 31. Ajatnayome suhutayata vidhi dvijatmajatvacharanavane janahai athamaso varbir iyamchaburavo tatha punita tanubi padastava. O son of a Brahman, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastras, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. So, text 32. Nyadyatvato vachas vanchasi tatpati cha me tvam artinam viprasutam nutar kahe gam kanchanam gunavadama mrishat mishtam tathanapayam mutavavi prakanyam raman samriddam turaganga janvai vathams tathar hattama sampaticha. O son of a Brahman, it appears that you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me. O best of those who are worshipable, you may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmana for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Vamanadeva, the Dwarf of Incarnation. So we'll read the next chapter summary, text, or chapter 19. Chapter 19 is entitled Lord Vamanadeva Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. And so this 19th chapter describes how Lord Vamanadeva asked for 3 paces of land in charity, how Bali Maharaj agreed to his proposal, and how Shukracharya forbade Bali Maharaj to fulfill Lord Vamanadeva's request. When Bali Maharaj, thinking Vamanadeva to be the son of a Brahmin, told him to ask for anything he liked, Lord Vamanadeva praised Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha for their heroic activities, and after thus praising the family in which Bali Maharaj had been born, he begged the king for 3 paces of land. Bali Maharaj agreed to give this land in charity, since this was very insignificant. But Shukracharya, who could understand that Vamanadeva was Vishnu, the friend of the demigods, forbade Bali Maharaj to give him this land. Shukracharya advised Bali Maharaj to withdraw his promise. He explained that in subduing others, in joking, in responding to danger, in acting for the welfare of others, and so on, one could refuse to fulfill one's promise, and there would be no fault. By this philosophy, Shukracharya tried to dissuade Bali Maharaj from giving land to Lord Vamanadeva. So that's the summary, and then we'll do text 1, and then text 2 has a purport. So text 1. Sri Jagavacha iti vairochan her vakyam karma yuktam sunritam nishamya bhagavan prita pratinanjedam Abhavet. Sukadeva Goswami continued, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva, heard Bali Maharaj speaking in this pleasing way, he was very satisfied. For Bali Maharaj had spoken in terms of religious principles. Thus the Lord began to praise him. So, and finally, text 2. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Vachastaiva Advaitas Janadeva Sunritam Kulochitam Dharma Yutam Yashaskaram Yasya Pramanam Avrigava Samparhaye Vitam Mahakula Vrida Prashantaha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O King, you are indeed exalted because of your present, because your present advisors are the Brahmanas who are descendants of Bhrigu, and because your instructor for your future life is your grandfather, the peaceful and venerable Prahlad Maharaj. Your statements are very true, and they completely agree with religious etiquette. They are in keeping with the behavior of your family, and they enhance your reputation. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Prahlad Maharaj is a vivid example of a pure devotee. Someone might argue that since Prahlad Maharaj, even though very old, was attached to his family, and specifically to his grandson, Bali Maharaj, how could he be an ideal example? Therefore, this verse uses the word prashantaha. A devotee is always sober. He is never disturbed by any conditions. Even if a devotee remains in grahastha life and does not renounce material possessions, he should still be understood to be prashanta, sober, because of his pure devotion to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore said, Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, shudra kena nai, kene nai, ye krishna tattva veta se guru hoy. Whether one is a Brahmin, a sannyasi, or a shudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, 8th chapter, text 128. Anyone completely aware of the science of Krishna, regardless of his status in life, is a guru. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj is a guru in all circumstances. Here, His Lordship Vamanadeva also teaches sannyasis and brahmacharis that one should not ask for more than necessary. Oops, a buggy. Nice bug. He wanted only three pieces of land, although Bali Maharaj wanted to give him anything he wanted. So, Om Maganat Vidandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshu Vinyanitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the important point in this particular verse and Prabhupada's purport is that we should not consider people from the bodily standpoint when taking instruction in Krishna consciousness. And of course this verse, famous verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Prabhupada would quote often, Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi Shudra Kena Nai Ye Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hoy. Basically, he says whether one is Kiva Vipra Kiva Nyasi, whether one is a learned Brahmin, that's a Vipra, or Nyasi, Nyasi means like sannyasi, Shudra Kena Nai. It doesn't matter. If he knows the science of Krishna, of course, knowing the science of Krishna means not only theoretically to know the science of Krishna, but to practice Krishna consciousness. You know, one has to see if someone is an acharya. The word acharya means means to act honestly. Of course, Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharya ti shrestha tat Avetarojanaha, that someone in society is the example or exemplar for the rest of society, the leaders of society. So there's a prachar and achar. Now, prachar means to speak nicely, achar means to act nicely. So if someone is going to be a spiritual master, they have to have both qualities, acting nicely and speaking nicely. Don't kill cockroaches. They are living entities just like you and me. Take them outside. What? Catch them. Catch them if you can. So, anyway. So, getting back to the point. So this particular verse is found in the Majjhima Lila in a very interesting story that illustrates this particular point. And what is that story? That's the story of Lord Chaitanya interacting with Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari River. So the story is as follows, that Lord Chaitanya was requested, when he was going to go to his South India tour, to meet with Ramananda Roy. He was requested by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a Brahmin, high-class Brahmin. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya previously did not really appreciate Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy had been posted as the governor of the province of Madras, or Chennai, as it is known today. And he was considered to be Shudra caste. Shudra and also Grahastha. You can't get lower than that. Sorry about that. Anyway, I mean, at least according to the, you know, ritualistic understanding. I guess Brahmacharya is lower because they're the legs of society. Because nowadays the legs don't cooperate with the head, but that's another story. We have one Brahmacharya. Anyway, so the legs have to cooperate with the head or else they get amputated. So he was a Shudra, and also he was Rahastha. And it's interesting. Sometimes you even have the sannyasis. At least in the old days, the sannyasis would criticize the Rahasthas. And even there's that story about Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur criticized, you know, jokingly criticizing his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He said, "You're Sri Sangha, you know, you're attached to it," because he had married twice. I mean, not married twice at the same time, but his first wife died, and then his second wife. But you know, obviously, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said on other occasions that if he thought he could have Krishna conscious children, he'd be prepared to have sex like thousands of times or whatever. Hundreds of times. So there's this tendency of sannyasis to criticize. And so Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he didn't really appreciate Ramananda Roy. In other words, Ramananda Roy was acting as a devotee, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was acting as an impersonalist, a follower of the teachings of Shripad Shankaracharya, Shodhidrakya Bhasha, the commentary that Shankaracharya made on the Vedanta Sutras. So, but then when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee, or became enlightened by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully explained this verse from the Bhagavatam, the Atmarama verse, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to appreciate Ramananda Roy, and he said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on the South India tour, "You gotta meet Ramananda Roy. He's a great devotee." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu proceeded on the South India tour, arrived at the Godavari, and basically he, as he was bathing in the Godavari, he saw this personality, the governor of Madras, which is Ramananda Roy, come with all of his Brahmin associates and everything like that. And Lord Chaitanya looked at him, and basically they met and then embraced. And they both fell to the ground unconscious. And, you know, that's highly irregular according to the caste system. I mean, to see a Brahmin sannyasi, you can't get higher than that. Brahmin sannyasi. You're someone born in a Brahmin family. And a sannyasi embracing what's considered to be a low-class Shudra Rahasa. And they were both unconscious. Of course, we understand that Ramananda Roy is considered to be the incarnation of Vishakha Devi, also Arjuna combined incarnation. So, you know, something else is happening esoterically there. But all of the associates of Ramananda Roy who were watching this were thinking, what is happening? This sannyasi, you know, high-class sannyasi is embracing this low-class shudra. Not only that, that Ramananda Roy, they understood he was an intelligent, educated person. He's embracing the sannyasi, you know, and going unconscious, you know, what's happening here? You know, they were very confused by this whole thing. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy understood what was in the minds of all these Brahmanas and other people there. And as a result, they agreed to meet, you know, all right, let's not mess up their minds too much today. Let's meet privately tonight. You know, because, you know, obviously the devotees don't want to disturb the minds of those who are materially attached, as Krishna says in the Gita, but encourage them to work in a spirit of devotion. So they met that night. And that evening, when they met, Lord Chaitanya took the position of being a student, and Ramananda Roy took the position of being a teacher, which is really interesting. So here's a very high-class sannyasi and low-class grahasta, and the grahasta becomes the teacher. You know, just like, huh, what's happening? I mean, you have to really understand Indian culture to really relate to this, like, of course you would. I mean, for example, when we stayed at Govardhan, there were these very nice persons who do the gardening and clean the houses and everything like that at our retreat center. And then there's the people, the bosses, you know, the people who own the place, and they treat the workers there like slaves, basically. And, you know, they practically don't even look at them. It's just like, and then when I go there, of course, I treat them like Brajavasis, you know, and they're so happy, wow. They're getting treated nicely. And then, you know, there's a lot of racism in India too, you know, based on color of skin and everything. It's just, like you see all the Bollywood actors and actresses, they look lighter than me, which is really stupid. So, isn't it true? In India, it's racism and casteism and sexism. And that came, a lot of that came from, not the Vedic culture, it came from, anyway, invaders, who shall remain nameless. So you have to understand the scenario that Lord Chaitanya embracing Ramananda Roy, it's just like, it just really freaked out people. So that night they met, and Lord Chaitanya became the student, and Ramananda Roy became the professor. And there's that whole discussion. Prabhupada wrote a very interesting book about this. It's called the Ramananda Sambhava. It means the discussions of Ramananda between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. And I don't know if that book's available, but it's a very nice little book. And that book was discovered by one of my godbrothers who happened to go into Prabhupada's quarters after Prabhupada left this planet in the Radha Damodara temple, and he discovered Prabhupada's manuscript and he published this book. You know, very beautiful book. So this whole discussion ensued, and Lord Chaitanya was asking Ramananda Roy, please tell me the purpose of life and how to achieve that purpose of life. And Ramananda Roy, you know, first replied, you know, Varnashram. And Lord Chaitanya said, huh? That's external. I reject it. And then Ramananda Roy said, well, you know, yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat jahoshi tadasi yat. Whatever you offer, what should you give away? And that, Lord Chaitanya considered that to be karma misra bhakti. In other words, you're offering things to Krishna, but you have some desire to fulfill. Like the people perform like Satyanarayan katha, different kathas in order to get money or in order to enthuse each other in acquiring material goods. So Lord Chaitanya said, you know, that's getting, you know, it's a little bit all better than Varnashram, but it's still not so good. And then Ramananda Roy presented the whole principle of renouncing everything. Renouncing Lord Chaitanya said that's external. And then Ramananda Roy presented what's called Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti means, you know, desire for liberation. You know, devotional service with a desire for mukti. That's called Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, that's not really so good. Finally, Ramananda Roy presented pure devotional service and Vashipashunyam, Jnana Karma, Abhritam, Anukulyena, Krishna, Anushilanam. Bhakti Rutama, and then after that, Ramananda Roy, after Lord Chaitanya said, you know, that's good, but go higher. And then they went through the various rasas, and servitude, and then after that, the friendship rasa, Sakya Ras, and then Vatsali Ras, like that. And finally, they came to the conjugal Ras, and then they talked about, finally, Lord Chaitanya even asked him to go higher. And then he talked about the Rasa dance and Srimati Radharani being left bereft because Krishna left the Rasa dance and left the gopis, and they talked about separation and finally Mahabhav. So this whole discussion went on with Ramananda Roy being, the whole point is Ramananda Roy was the teacher rather than the student. And so, and then this verse was spoken in that context. And Ramananda Roy also recognized, he said, you know, whatever I am speaking, you're actually speaking through me. You know, I'm just like a puppet. This also stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita like that. And then in other instances, Lord Chaitanya showed or displayed the same principle of accepting someone because they know the science of Krishna as a guru, rather than considering their caste. Another example is the story of Ramananda Roy and Prajuna Mishra. So Prajuna Mishra was a great Brahmin. He was a Grahastha, but he was a great Brahmin. Great, 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 you know, high class Brahmin. And Ramananda Roy was a Shudra. So this happened in Jagannath Puri. So when Ramananda Roy retired and he was with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the things he did was teaching the Devi Dasis how to dance for Lord Jagannath. Now, traditionally, when the girls danced, they would just dance to the deities. You know, they wouldn't dance with a bunch of men looking at them. Because, you know, men, when they look at girls dance, think something, which we can't even explain in Bhagavatam class. You know, because like Lord Chaitanya said, you know, even if he sees the wooden statue of a woman, then he feels changes in his body and mind, right? And of course, obviously, that wasn't true for Lord Chaitanya because he's Krishna. But he's showing how dangerous, you know, fire, butter, ghee. Right? Fire, butter, and ghee. So, anyway, so Ramananda Roy was teaching these Devi Dasis how to dance for Lord Jagannath. Not only teaching them, but he was dressing them, bathing them, showing them how to do these different expressions, because when they do these different dances, there's mudras, there's facial expressions. I mean, it takes a lot of training. It's not you just get up there and start wiggling away like modern dance. You know, modern dance is, you know, you ever go to a disco? Anyone here ever go to a disco? Is they just like flail out in all directions. You know, you don't need any dancing lessons. When I was young, my mother sent me to dancing school. I failed. And that wasn't traditional dance, it was cha-cha. So, anyway, that's another issue. So Lord Chaitanya, anyway, so Ramananda Roy, he was teaching these Devi Dasis, you know, very elaborate expressions, how you move the mouth, how you move the hands, how you move the feet, move all parts of the body. And he was dealing with these young, beautiful girls. And he was a Shudra also. So Lord Chaitanya was asked by Prajuna Mishra, please tell me about the topics you discussed in the Godavari, you know, elevated topics. And Lord Chaitanya said, very humbly, I don't know anything about this stuff. But if you want to know, I'm just paraphrasing, I'm not giving the exact quote. If you want to know, go to see Ramananda Roy. So Prajuna Mishra goes to see Ramananda Roy, and he hears what Ramananda Roy is doing, because Ramananda Roy is not present, he's taking care of the Devidasis. And then Prajuna Mishra gets a little confused by this whole thing. You know, he's a Shudra, he's dealing with women, he's dressing the women, he's doing this, he's doing that. And he gets confused, he goes back to Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya says, did you hear about the topics? And Prajuna Mishra said, no, but, you know, really, this is what Ramananda Roy was doing. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, go back. He said, Ramananda Roy has that special prerogative of doing this. He said, not having his mind disturbed by these interactions. And so Prajuna Mishra goes back, and he is able to hear about these ecstatic pastimes of Radha and Krishna from Ramananda Roy. And so here again is the high-class Brahmin taking instruction from a low-class Shudra, you know, externally. Of course, Ramananda Roy was one of Lord Chaitanya's most intimate associates, you know, only 3.5 associates Lord Chaitanya had, intimate associates that he discussed Radha and Krishna's intimate loving exchange. Generally, with everybody else, it was just chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. It wasn't, you know, Gopi Baba or anything like that. So, and there's other stories too. I mean, of course, we have Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is a grahastha. I mean, he was a Brahmin. So he was a grahastha, and he was the guru. You know, there's a Jagat Guru, another Jagat. Jagat Guru means a guru of the universe. Sometimes the my buddies, they address themselves as Jagat Gurus, but they haven't even made their village Krishna conscious or Brahman conscious, what to speak of, you know, the whole guru of the universe. I mean, Prabhupada can directly be addressed as Jagat Guru too, because he spread Krishna consciousness. It's an objective understanding that Prabhupada has spread Krishna consciousness in such a wide way. I mean, for someone to call themselves Jagat Guru, they shouldn't call themselves Jagat Guru. Someone to be called Jagat Guru means they have to do something amazing. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did so many amazing things, his publication. He also spread Krishna consciousness in the Western world by sending his literature to different universities like McGill University in Canada. So he's definitely Jagat Guru. He's a grahastha. And then you also have like another personality. Of course, he wasn't a grahastha, but he was a Shudra, Narottama Das Thakur. I mean, Narottama Das Thakur was considered Shudra caste, Kayastha, in Bengal. And Narottama Das Thakur was a great Acharya, second generation, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, friends of Srinivasa Acharya, Shyamananda Pandit. And he got criticized soundly by the Brahmanas, that he was accepting even Brahmanas, you know, caste Brahmanas, as his disciples. And they really criticized him. Of course, there's that whole story how he had some of his disciples act as panwalas, you know, selling pan and different things like that, and defeat the so-called brahmanas utilizing learned Sanskrit. And so those learned brahmanas took shelter from him. But even when he was getting ready to leave this planet, Narottama Das Thakur sat on this funeral pyre. It's a famous story. And the Brahmins criticized this in a very inauspicious way. You know, he's offended so many Brahmins. He's offended the Varnashram system. And then Narottama Das Thakur manifested a Brahmin thread on his body, which is interesting. So that's why traditionally the Vaishnavas, not up to the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Vaishnava sannyasis, when they would take sannyas, they would get rid of their Brahmin thread. Nowadays, of course, we have Brahmin threads, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instituted the whole principle of giving all of his disciples who were qualified a Brahmin thread for preaching purposes. But traditionally, sannyasis wouldn't have Brahmin threads because the Brahmin thread represents caste. So when one takes sannyas, one is supposed to be civilly dead. I mean, civilly dead means you have no more caste, no more family attachment, no more any of these things. And so you're transcendental to Varnashram. So a Vaishnava, the point is a Vaishnava is transcendental to Varnashram. And we also have that statement, Charimam Viganyam Napamanye Tukari Chitna Marchibudya Suyeta Sarvadeva Mayoguru. That if you consider a Vaishnava to be of a certain caste, Charyamam, Viganyam, Navaman, to be of certain birth, just to have a certain type of body, that's like hellish intelligence. He's considered to be guru. And also there's that statement, if you consider the deity to be stone, or the Vaishnava to be of a certain caste or creed, that's hellish intelligence. Hellish mentality. So one should see Vaishnavas. That means, I just want to end this with, you know, whatever their caste, whatever, whether it's a man or a woman or a child, here we have Lord Vamadeva, he's a kid. If they know the science of Krishna, they can be guru. Not to be instituted in ISKCON, not to discriminate according to one's physical condition, whether one is guru or not. On that happy note, no time for argument. All glories to His fine grace, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Ki Jai.